Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that our life is indeed hidden in you. And through you, we have an eternal hope in Christ. Amen. We've been looking so far on the book of John, and we heard a reading earlier, and I just hope that we have our Bibles open and we can follow. It's a very challenging bit of scripture. I think over the last couple of weeks, it has been really challenging. Last week, we heard from David talking about true love. This week, the theme is true life. I'd like to start with a little backdrop, very short backdrop of 1 John. Just to give it some context, really. It was written at a time when the newness of Christianity had worn off. We had come to a point where there are second and third generation Christians, and this time we have things like legalism, Gnosticism, mysticism. We come to prevailing culture around the Christian community, and these are real threats. And complacency in the church replaced enthusiasm, so in some sense. As a matter of fact, one Christian writer, Chuck Swindoll, refers to this same book. He says that complacency and indifference are the greatest enemy of the church. I believe these remain a real threat to the church today as well. The good news of what God has done through Jesus may be old news to some, old-fashioned news to others. That needs a bit of new twist to it, spicing up. To others, it may just be going through the motions. It's like, as one scripture says, having an appearance of godliness, but denying the power of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. And Paul writes to Timothy with respect to that particular scripture, that we should stay away from such people who are going through those motions. We should be like them. They are always learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth, as it says, as he writes to Timothy. Now, having gone through John 1, 1 John, there are two things which I have come to observe, and I believe John wants us to see. First thing I think John wants us to see is that there's a conflict that exists between believing in God and being captivated by the world. As a matter of fact, the first four chapters we looked at probably looks at this conflict. We see where there was light versus darkness. In verse one, in the first chapter, verse five, it says, "This is a message we have heard from him and proclaim to you that God is light and in him no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice truth. If we walk in the light, as he is in light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin." And then the other conflict is the love of the world and the love of the Father. And we find that in chapter 2, verse 15, "Do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." And we come to the next conflict we have that John points out. It's the truth versus lie. And again, we find that in chapter 2. He says, "I write to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it. And because no lies of the truth. Who is the liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist. He who denies the Father and the Son." So we see here is a kind of Christ versus the Antichrist is posed as the truth and the lie. The truth in Christ, the lie in the Antichrist. The father of lies, as John himself writes in John 8, "You are the father of lies, the devil, and his will is not the father's will." And John says he was a murderer from the beginning and has nothing to do with truth at all, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Now, the second thing I want us to look at, and what we're going to really focus on tonight, is that John wants us to experience and have confidence in the relationship we have with God through Jesus Christ, which is what chapter 5 is mainly about. How can we experience and have true life with God in Christ? The question is, therefore, having known God as light, love and truth, and knowing we are the complete opposite, how can we experience and have confidence in a relationship with God the Father? Well, the answer is only through Jesus. And John points, it goes to at length here to say it happens in two ways. And the two ways I've identified here is, one, we are born again to be like him. That's like Jesus. And the second bit, we receive eternal life through him. So we see here God at work in every way in our lives. So God makes the first step to us only we believe, or when we believe, we are born again. So our belief is dependent on God making that first step. Experience that new birth. Notice it says, who believe has been born. This suggests a prior work on our hearts done by God through the Spirit. As verse 6 tells us, it is the Spirit that testifies. Verse 4 explains that we overcome the world by our faith in Jesus Christ. And therefore, believers in Jesus Christ are those born of God with the Spirit of truth in them. Our connection with God is therefore through faith. Loving the Father is implicit in believing in Jesus Christ, the one we believe. Now we can see how beautiful, merciful, gracious, and loving God is by Jesus being in our hearts. That leads us nicely to the end of verse 1 and into verse 2, which is an understanding that a relationship with the Father is rooted in a relationship with our brothers and sisters, with other believers. Anyone who loves the Father loves the children of God born of him. That's what we were reading further on in that verse there. And how do I know I love my brothers and sisters in Christ? That is those born of God, as John refers to them. When we love God, he says, and when we keep his commandments. So what does this love of God look like? Well, this is explained in verse 3. It's by obeying his commandments. Obeying his commandments without them being a burden. We're doing joyfully. That is having joy in obedience to God's commandments. And we saw in chapter 2, verse 15, the world, everything in the world that makes obeying God's commandments burdensome. And what John is saying here, that if we have this joy that only comes from actually having a true knowledge of who Jesus is, and we have the obedience of obeying those commandments in joy, the world to us is exposed as unsatisfying. And this happens because the new birth, the being born again in God, results in faith, and in faith is the power to overcome the world, as he writes. So loving God means obeying God's commandment with joy, and in so doing, we love our brothers and sisters. We love the children of God. So if you just kind of summarize that, we could say that it's new birth that leads to faith in Jesus Christ, and which then leads us to see the beauty of God, his mercy and towards us and all that, and the beauty of his holiness. And with faith in Jesus Christ and the love of God, it gives us power to overcome the world. And this power helps us to keep God's commandment joyfully. And by doing that, we love our brothers and sisters in Christ. So that's kind of the train there in the first five verses. Now, what does having confidence in the relationship with Jesus, with God, through Jesus with God, that is, have to do with eternal life? And that's the big question here. As I said before, the first bit here is being born again, which it's the Spirit has worked in our hearts. God has done that so that we can see Jesus. And by seeing Jesus, we know who God is. Now we're looking at the other aspect of it, which true life is having this confidence in the relationship through Jesus with God to do what he tells us to do. So verse 9 to 11 tells us that God's testimony is that Jesus is his son and in him is eternal life. And in fact, there are three that testify Jesus is God's son. We can see that there. He says the spirit, the water, and the blood. Those are the three that testify of Jesus as God's son. The three confirm that Jesus is the son of God. So we have by water, by birth and baptism. That's what the water probably refers to here. By birth and baptism, God became man through Jesus, the son, taking human flesh, experienced all that humanity has to offer, good and bad. In human form, he's born of the spirit, being baptized in the River Jordan. The father looks upon him with love and he says, my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. And then we have by his blood. And this probably refers to his death on the cross. Jesus, out of love and obedience to the Father and for our sake, gives up his own life for our lives. That life required his blood for the price of our own life. And in the song we heard earlier, the sinless Savior died. My sinful soul is counted free for the God. The just is satisfied to look on him and pardon me. So here he physically bears the cross and dies on it. His blood for our life. And then by the Spirit. And John here writes the Spirit. He says, Spirit is the truth. The Spirit is truth. By Spirit who is truth and lives on in the believer. So the Spirit there is in the believer and lives on. And the Spirit is truth. The Spirit speaks to our hearts and testifies Jesus as the Son of God, as the Christ. This is not a physical evidence like the prior two, but a spiritual one. Water and blood are testimonies of men, but the Spirit is a testimony of God. And John writes here that this is the greatest testimony. As a matter of fact, in John 20, in the Gospels, in verse 28, this is a question Thomas says to him, my Lord and my God. When Thomas answers him, seeing him, the nails in his hands, Jesus said, have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. You see, the greatest testimony is from God through the Holy Spirit, who reveals Jesus to us when we believe. So that is the Spirit. Now, this passage, as recorded by John, is about the risen Christ, that particular bit, the evidence that death is defeated. That's what Thomas is seeing right there in front of his eyes. It is evidence that in Christ, we too are victorious, and that by our faith, we not only overcome the challenges of this world, but we also have a guarantee of eternal life in Christ. We who believe the Son have the testimony of the Spirit of truth in our hearts because we are born of God. The Spirit abides in us, who is the truth, testifying Jesus is the Son of God. As we see in verse 11 to 12, it tells us plainly, the testimony is that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in Jesus, his Son. Whoever believes in the Lord Jesus has life. And that is what having the Son implies in verse 12. So I want us now look at how we can apply, now that we see or have begun to see what true life in Christ is about. Well, what we see so far is that it's God who has started at work on our hearts so that we can actually understand who Jesus is. And by understanding or seeing Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we then see God, the beauty of God. So how do we apply these truths to our hearts? How do we live in the confidence of what God has done for us through Jesus? Well, I believe that the confident Christian is a stabilizing force in the world. We are the lesser light that points to the greater light. And having confidence in our own relationship with God, we see our brothers and sisters for who they are in Christ. and we love them. All his commandments points to us to love him and to love those born of him. We can do that looking out for each other physically and spiritually. Some of us need help in practical ways which assures us of our place in the family of God. A helping hand is sometimes needed for a brother and sister. A helping hand is all that they need to be assured of what it is to be a Christian, to assure them that they are indeed a part of this family of believers. It is probably the hand that will help us not to compromise our faith and be lured by the ways of the world. Others need help in spiritual ways so that they can be confident in the testimony that God gave us eternal life through Jesus. We can sometimes get so despondent and so depressed when we experience great pain or loss or just the destiny of time, what will happen to us in the future. Helping others spiritually is a support and prayer they need to be reminded of the joy in keeping God's commandments. We don't keep them to find joy. We find joy in keeping the commandments because of our faith in Christ, the victory that has overcome the world. So we can have confidence in our relationship with God because of what he has done with our hearts. We're given new birth by his Spirit, moving on our hearts, revealing, pointing us to Jesus, in whom we have been given eternal life. That, my brothers and sisters, is true life, knowing that we have this new birth and we have this eternal life. Amen.